Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Post-Commencement Reflection Bureau. That's a mouthful.
The mirrors?
Here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, our commencement address has now come and gone. And
yes, it has.
And we were unable to give you a preview of it for two very important reasons. Mm. One, we didn't know what we were going to say till we got there. And two, we didn't want to tip off MIT to what we were going to do because they might cancel us if they knew. But now we can reveal if we want to.
Well, I mean, I suppose we can reveal a little bit. I mean, one of the things we did do was we gave a summary of some research that was done by Paul Merkey.
Heavy duty stuff.
This research, you know, there's research.
Groundbreaking. Maybe windbreaking.
I mean, there are some theories that you just don't believe, but some are just so powerful, and this is one of them. And I wish we could tell you more about it, but it takes too long.
It does take too long. I mean, after all, it took us 75 minutes to deliver our address.
That's right. Yeah. Sitting in the rain, the sun, we had every different kind of weather, and I'm telling you,
but hailstorms.
If you want to find out more about this historic, folkloric, challenging, and interesting commencement address at MIT, you can read all about it on our website this week.
Complete with pictures.
Read all about it. Who was that kid? You go to our website, cartalk.com, and you will see a feature of the highlights. I guess just the highlights.
Including seeing us in full academic regalia.
I mean, oh, God. Man. We had to beat off our wives with a stick.
They were the ones that were hitting us.
They were hitting us with the stick. Well, we had to fend off the sticks.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us about your car or maybe a commencement engagement for next season.
Ah, yeah, now that we're professionals.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255.
I can remember that.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. Jane from Columbus, Ohio.
J-A-N-E?
J-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, you're the third one.
We have to get those Janes straight.
Yeah.
My brother, in fact, one day said nobody else ever, no other Jane ever spelled her name with a Y in the middle of it, except for Jane Mansfield.
You know what? That's exactly who my mom, she named me after that.
After Jane Mansfield.
Yep.
She did. I mentioned, of course, Jane Zimmer.
Oh, okay.
Who called me the next day and said, stop mentioning my name on the air. So now we know of at least three people named J-A-Y-N-E.
But you would never have had your name if it weren't for the original Jane Mansfield.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jane Zimmer told me that she was not named after Jane Mansfield.
Oh, no. Well.
She was named after her grandfather, Jane, who was a cross-dresser.
Fred Jane.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. You are. Yeah. Wasn't there an injunction? There wasn't an injunction.
There was an injunction, yeah. But I forgot about it.
You violated your injunction. Anyway.
I forgot what you
told me. Jane from Columbus, what's up?
Well, I have a 1986 Oldsmobile Cutlass. It's a V8 engine, and the problem is it uses excess oil, and the oil's not going on the ground. It's not leaking on the ground, but it's going somewhere because I have to put a quart of oil in it like every 200 miles.
Yeah, it's in greater Columbus, your oil.
Yeah, it's all over the highway.
Think about it this way. You're not losing all of the oil because you're probably breathing in part of it when you go walking down the streets. In fact, if you leave the windows open, you might breathe in more of it.
Oh, bummer, huh?
Yeah, I can't figure out. I don't want a new car right now because of the expense.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out what I can do. I don't have to put a quart of oil in about every week.
Well, just so we don't put our foot in our mouths, did this happen all of a sudden, or has it gradually been increasing in usage over the last 12, 13 years?
Well, no, because I didn't buy it until like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just been gradually doing it, I'd say, this past year. My dad and I keep checking it every couple days and just keep pouring the oil in, but it's not going on the ground.
I mean, a quarter every 200 is pretty bad, but it's, I mean, my brother once had a car that burned a quarter every 50. It was so bad, he actually installed a catwalk so he could go out there and pop the hood while he was moving and add oil to it. You know, but, so I don't
200
know.
200 is a lot of oil.
It's bad, and it's probably going to get worse. And if you're really sure that it's not leaking,
right,
the real remedy is to rebuild the engine.
I know.
But you're not going to do that.
You're not going to do that.
You can try additives, and you can try using 20W50 oil. We've had great luck with, believe it or not, Castrol 20W50 oil in reducing oil consumption on these beasts.
Because right now we're using 10W30.
Oh, yeah. You need to go. You might have to go to 80, 90. And then I would try that first. If that doesn't seem to help a lot, you can try any and all of the additives available on the market. In fact, you could go to an all additive and just forget the oil.
Aww.
That's very expensive.
An all additive concoction.
That comes out to be $13 a quart.
Oh, maybe more.
Maybe more.
But I've never tried that, but someone ought to. But I would want you to ascertain for sure that you're not leaking. And the way you're going to do that is to run the car with a piece of cardboard underneath it for like a half an hour.
Oh.
For example, if your oil pressure switch is leaking, it might not leak enough when you're sitting stopped at a light for you to see a big puddle or to leave a puddle in front of your house, because it will only leak when the engine is running. And if you start the car and drive right away, you're not going to have an opportunity to leave a very big puddle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to eliminate that first before you go switching brands of oil and viscosities and going and buying all kinds of additives. Make sure that you don't have a leak like that.
I mean, if your father is sort of taking care of your car, he may know where the oil pressure switch is, and ask him to take a look at it. And just run your fingers around it, and if it's leaking, it'll be wet.
Okay.
Good luck, Jane.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrew from Chicago.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. I have a 1984 Pontiac Sunbird, and it's a manual transmission. And the problem that I'm having is one day I was driving it, and I couldn't get it into 2-4 reverse. Would just kick back into neutral.
Well, I've often said that we don't need all those gears.
Yeah, but reverse would be good.
Except for the fact that reverse is one of the ones that you do need.
Well, I was able to drive it home, but reverse was a problem because I parked in like a parallel parking space.
Yeah,
and of course, that's it didn't
dawn
on me that I'd need that to get out.
So you have 1, 3, and 5. I mean, if I had to choose, if I had to take one of those groups, I would definitely take the 1, 3, 5 group.
No, I agree. I agree.
But you need R.
Yeah, but you need 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, I would choose.
You know what would be great? Having all of them.
I would choose 2. I would choose 2, 4, and R.
So when you try to put it in, it just grinds.
No,
no,
it doesn't
it
do
pops
anything.
Out.
Yeah, just you try and it's like you can't push it back far enough.
Oh, you know this thing
this
must have a cable shifter.
I think you're lucky.
Yeah, you might need it. I honestly don't remember, but a lot of manual shift cars back in the old days, cars either had the shifter that went right into the transmission. And there are still some cars that have that. Or the linkage was actual rods that went from a shifter and attached to the feet on the transmission so that as you moved the shifter lever inside the car, you would actually move a rod, which would move a foot on the transmission and select a selector for the gears.
Okay.
But because front-wheel drive has made it difficult to do that, many manufacturers now do it with cables.
Right.
And it's possible that the reason you can't get 2, 4, and R is that that cable is bound up and rusted.
Yeah, the fact that it's all three of them that you can't deal with.
Yeah, it's not the transmission.
Are all the same, all in the same direction, means that it's not something that's inside the transmission, because it's so unlikely that something could have happened to gear 4, 2, and R. So that's good, because if you don't have to go in the transmission to fix it, it means a difference of $1,000.
And you wouldn't go into this transmission under any circumstances anyway,
right,
on an 84 Sunbird. So I think you should take it to your repair shop and ask them if it has a cable, which I'm 99% sure it does, and see if they can replace that seized cable.
Okay.
Good luck, Andrew.
Well, thank
you have
much.
Lucked See, out,
and
my boy.
I mean, we know you're a lucky guy because you're driving an 84 Sunbird.
Sorry,
and you're still alive.
And you still have a good sense of humor, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
1-888 What is that number? 888 Car Talk. That's 888-82-27-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Isla from Hardwick, Vermont.
Isla?
Isla.
I-L-A?
No.
E-I-L-A?
No.
A-Y?
No.
Isla.
E-Y-E-L-A-H.
No. No. It's I-S-L-A, like island.
Oh, like the Isle of Manhattan.
Well, yeah. Or the island of Isla on off the west coast of Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like island without the D. And the N.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like Isla Nublar.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
there you go.
Exactly what I was
and
thinking.
And where are you from?
I'm calling from Hardwick, Vermont.
Hardwick.
Hardwick's in the Northeast Kingdom.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What'd you do wrong?
Well, I live in Maine. I work in Vermont, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way to get there. Is
I
there?
Know that. I know that.
No, you know, you need a plane.
Well, you do. I find it interesting. I mean, we got those sort of three states that are like across from each other.
Exactly.
Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And there's really no way to get from one to the other unless you either go through Canada or Massachusetts.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Nobody really wants to make that trip.
Oh, well,
that's
figure
right.
That out.
I think
true.
They all have decided they want to be alone. And they don't like the people next to them.
Oh.
And
ooh.
They've made it. Don't forget, I mean, they've seen roads.
Uh-huh.
And they could build one if they really wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And nobody has taken the initiative. And they certainly
and they
have not
the north,
collaborated.
They want the north to south roads because that brings in the tourists.
Right.
Exactly. But they don't want the tourists to come from the neighboring states because they don't like each other.
Well, they don't spend any money either.
Of course not. They're only coming there to fish. They're going to steal your fish.
Right. So better they stay home. So anyway, what's your problem?
Okay. I have a 1995 Jeep Cherokee. Since last August, I've replaced the rotors front and back three times.
Yeah.
And when I took it to Midas, I felt like the brakes were getting kind of pulsy and soft. So they replaced the rotors.
They put in new ones.
I guess.
How much did they charge you?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it a lot?
Yes.
Did you cry?
No.
Okay.
No.
Couldn't have been enough then. We have a box of tissues on the counter now. We hand people the bill. We give them a bill and a tissue. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So about a month.
And a priest. Who works full time.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. So about a month or so after that, going downhill at high rates of speed, it felt like the brakes were getting soft and kind of pulsy again,
mm-hmm.
and it was intermittent.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November, it got to be more consistent, and I took it back to Midas, and they replaced the rotors again.
Free of charge?
Free of charge.
Oh, good.
So the same thing happened in February. They replaced them again, no
free,
charge.
Free of charge.
But the guy said to me, this is it. We're not doing this again. And when I said, why is this happening? He asked me if I had a paper route. He thought that was the, was I using the brakes, you know, excessively? Or he didn't have any theories.
Well, how much had you driven in any of those periods between rotors?
I put about 300 miles a week on my car and all long distance and pretty high speed.
Up and down mountains.
Up and down mountains.
Up and down mountains.
And what is your method of coming down the mountain?
I do not ride the brakes.
What do you do?
I drive.
You just career down the mountain at 115 miles an hour?
No, you
notice I use the word career.
Yes. Yes.
Which I know.
You had a career opportunity there, and you used it.
I did, because I think it's such a silly word. We had a perfectly good word, careen.
Yeah. You go.
Which means it's exactly the same thing.
Right.
Why did we need the word career? And so I'm using it only because I know that it's an unused word lying there fallow in the dictionary.
He went careering down the road.
He went careering down the road.
Well, I do go careering down the mountain.
Yeah, and well, I'm sure you have to use the brakes. I mean,
but I'm, you know, I'm aware. I'm really aware of how I'm using them lately.
No, yeah, but that is speeding up the demise of each of the new brake rotors.
Why?
Because they are misdesigned. If I'm not mistaken, there is a recall on these—not a recall, but a campaign or some such thing. At least on the newer Grand Cherokees, there is, because they've had the same problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, so what do I do?
Well,
you go to the dealer.
You go to the dealer and you give them your VIN.
Okay.
if they're convinced after looking at the car that Midas has done nothing wrong, then there's gonna then the only other possibility is that you're doing something wrong. And if you can convince them that you're not, then they might be willing to do something for you. But I don't know what they're going to do except for putting new rotors in, unless they have a new design.
Okay.
And I don't want to propose lying here.
Yeah, but?
But if you didn't have to mention the mountains.
Ah, okay.
Don't.
Okay.
Oh, high speed,
lots of mileage, no mountains.
Oh, it wouldn't be lying if you just omitted it. Is that?
That's what I'm saying. If you don't, if they don't say to you, you're not driving up and down mountains every day, are you? If they don't ask you that question, I wouldn't volunteer it. That's all I'm saying. If it were me, because I am a sleazeball.
Well, I know it now.
But you may not be, and you may think that honesty, you might want to say, as my mother did, well, Ray, what about those Cuban cigars you bought when she was at the border with my uncle in Canada?
Yeah. Because she was an honest soul.
She was an honest soul, but it didn't. She didn't pass that gene on to this little progeny.
Well, good luck, and let us know your make out.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. All right. Think back.
Yeah.
Sometime in the recent past, there was a puzzler.
Oh, not again.
You remember it?
No, I don't.
Well,
give me a hint.
Well, I found it while I was cleaning off my desk. Someone had sent it to us in 1984.
84? How do you know that? You have it carbon dated? What?
No, I had it carbonara dated. I was able to date it from the layers of pasta sauce that had spilled on it over the years.
Carbonara dated my foot. All right, we're going to be back with the question and the answer, and of course, more of your calls in just about a minute. So don't go anywhere.
Wild about war, an automobile that goes. I don't know why. I got that bugle, I'm doing all right. I'm wild about horns on automobiles that go.
And even though the National Weather Service reports a huge mass of hot air right over network headquarters whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from J.B. Weld. When you have a big or small repair project at home or in your garage, choose J.B. Weld, the leader in epoxy adhesives. J.B. Weld products bond strongly to a variety of surfaces in even the toughest environments. Proudly made in the USA, it's the brand both pros and experienced DIYers have trusted for more than 50 years. Available at jbweld.com, Amazon, Walmart, and your local auto parts or home improvement retailer. This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor Ridge Wallet. Looking for a Father's Day gift? The Ridge is the wallet reimagined. Its innovative design uses premium materials like titanium and carbon fiber and has over 30,000 five-star reviews. The Ridge Wallet comes with a lifetime warranty if you love it and free returns if you don't. Find the perfect gift at ridge.com/NPR and get 10% off with code NPR.
What is it about paying in advance that makes people faster at picking up their dry cleaning?
Am I considered underemployed because I'm paid for less than 40 hours? Or is full-time more of a feeling?
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, co-host of Planet Money's The Indicator, where we answer these great questions from you, our listeners, every day and in less than 10 minutes.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars and car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this was automotive in nature and had all the woe, intrigue, and obfuscation you could possibly ask for. It had everything, all the elements of a good puzzler, and it was sent in maybe 20 years ago, although I'm not sure, by someone named Judy Belland.
You still have her name. Oh, it's a piece of paper, so you didn't...
I didn't throw that away, and that wasn't covered up with the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, this is a true story.
She might be retired now.
Sunday, September 30, 1984, my sister's wedding had just taken place the day before in Hagerstown, Maryland. I was getting a ride back to my home in Michigan with two of my sister's friends, Robin and John. So we left early that morning, and we're only about an hour into the drive when John's alternator light came on. Oh. I said, you always, oh. After a couple of more hours, his car began having trouble, you know, bogging down, and I guess some of the electrical stuff wasn't working. So we got off the highway, and in the first minor miracle of the day, we found a place that was open and had a battery charger, so we charged up the battery. And of course, it doesn't happen right away. We wasted like an hour and a half hanging around, drinking coffee, and trying to extinguish our hangovers. Anyway, after the battery was charged, we headed back to the highway, and things looked grim. I started doing the math in my head, you know, and if you take what is normally a 12-hour trip and you stop for an hour and a half every 2 hours, that assumes we're lucky enough to, like, actually find a place that had a battery charger every time we needed it, it was going to take us, like, I don't know, 15, 16 days to get home. Well, yeah. Within seconds of our getting back on the highway, who goes whizzing by us but my aunt and uncle? Now, if we had gotten on the highway just seconds later, we never would have seen them. They, too, were heading back to Michigan from the wedding, having left much later than we did. Simultaneously, the three of us said, get him.
So yeah.
John floored it and managed to catch up to Uncle Leadfoot. We pulled up alongside and rolled down the window and said, you know, we're having car trouble. Pull over. Pull over. We finally find a place to stop, and John explained the situation to my uncle, who said, geez, I could help, but I don't have any tools. And John said, well, I have tools. I have like a pair of pliers and an adjustable wrench, you know, vice grips and a bottle of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil. But, you know, what are we going to do with that? Uncle said, well, yeah, of course. All the tools in the world aren't going to help. We don't have another alternator. What could I possibly do to help? But he was able to do something. We devised a plan. In using just the tools I mentioned, including the Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil, we made it back to Michigan with no difficulty and virtually no delay. The question was, how did they do it?
Yeah.
And what they simply did was they kept swapping batteries. So when John's battery, because of his bad alternator, would run low and was in danger of conking out and not being able to start the car.
Take it out, put it in Uncle's car.
So after an hour or so, they would put it in Uncle's car, and his good alternator would charge up the battery, and John
would use the other battery.
Would use the good battery, and then when it got run down, they would keep doing this, and they made it all the way back.
Just changing batteries every...
Yeah, and they had it down to a science. After a minute, they would do it in a matter of seconds. Pull over, swap the batteries, right back on the road again. Pretty cute, huh? So who's our winner?
The winner is David Crump from Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, and for having his correct answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. David will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division on our website, with which he can get a copy of our father's CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which is a perfect Father's Day gift, by the way, provided your father has already cut you out of the will, or there's no will. So congratulations, David, baby.
Anyway, we'll have a new...
Putrid?
Mathematical puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, actually, this is aimed at the school kids, some of whom have already ended school for the year, and the rest of you are about to.
Yeah.
So that your brains don't go lame, I thought we'd give you something to keep you intellectually stimulated.
And, of course, adults can enter because they forgot all their math.
Exactly.
Anyway.
In the meantime, you can ask us questions about your car at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Avital, presently of San Francisco.
Avital. Tal.
A-V-I-T-A-L?
Excellent.
And where are you from?
San Francisco.
Okay.
San Francisco. And your parents are from, let's see, don't tell us. Avital.
Middle East.
It's Middle Eastern. Of course. Middle Eastern. Avital.
Chicago, right?
Ohio. Somewhere in Ohio.
Chicago is actually correct.
Is it really?
Hey, it's half right. You got half Middle East and half Chicago. You're exactly right.
No kidding.
That's cool.
Where Middle East is
Israel.
It?
That's what I figured. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
All right. Well, I have an ex-boyfriend question.
Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend is a mechanic.
These are good questions because the answer doesn't matter.
Excellent.
Right?
Well, you never know.
You never know. Yeah, okay, you got an ex-boyfriend.
Right. He's a mechanic, and he told me that if I ever absolutely have to get my oil changed at one of those quick lube in and out in 10-minute places, I should ask for bottled oil because the stuff that they have in the drum separates.
What, like Paul Newman's salad dressing?
That's the image
that
I get in my head.
Balsamic vinaigrette?
Your ex-boyfriend, it's a good thing he's ex because he's bogus.
Really?
Well,
come on.
Jeez, I don't know. We've been selling the bulk stuff for close on to, as the Duke would say, 25 years. And I mean, not that I've ever really looked in the thing, but I don't think, if that can separate.
Well, he may know something that nobody else in the civilized or uncivilized world knows about.
Well, here's his rationale. If the stuff in the bottle separates, you end off getting all of it out of the bottle.
Exactly.
Because when you pour it in, assuming that you wait long enough, the stuff that had settled out, those special ingredients that had sunk to the bottom of the container, the spices, the oregano and all that
and
stuff.
And the vinegar. Don't forget the vinegar.
And the garlic chips there.
Yeah.
All that stuff winds up eventually in your crankcase. But if it separates out in that big tank, one of several things, if the spigot goes all the way down to the bottom.
Then you're getting all the crud.
You're getting just additives.
But in my 75 years associated with the automotive industry, I have never heard anyone say that oil separates.
Right.
And it's a very simple thing to test because you just pour some oil in a glass and watch it for a month.
Right.
I mean, assuming that what's going to happen is visible, but I'm sure, it would be simple to find out if the stuff at the bottom is different chemically from the stuff at the top.
Well, you would have to sample oil at various depths and subject that sample to mass spectrography. Right? How do you say that? Chemical analysis. Mass spectrometry, I think that's what it's called, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this has been done 1,000 times already, and we will definitely call somebody. Like the
American Petroleum Institute.
API. And API will certainly know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess that if the stuff sat around forever and ever, that it may, in fact, separate. But one of the things about motor oil, one of the characteristics is that it holds stuff in suspension well, like dirt. So you would think that the additives that are in the oil, the essential additives, are also held in suspension well by the oil, but it may be that they come out.
The additives are chemically bonded to the oil. They're not just floating around in there. They're not just lumps of additives.
I don't know that.
They're not like pieces of garlic in the Paul Newman balsamic vinegar vinaigrette.
They may be. But we'll.
Avital, this is a great question.
Rest assured that we will find out. I mean, as is often the case, we don't have the right answer right here.
But we have our gut feeling, and that's not worth nothing. It's worth less than that.
Well, I need to know. I keep going places, and people are looking at me as if I'm crazy.
Well, because you are.
Yeah.
No, your boyfriend is, though.
We'll have the
That's
answer for
guess.
You very soon.
Great.
Thank you, Avital, for a very challenging question.
Wow.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Chicago. San Francisco. Israel. Girl's been everywhere.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
What is she running away from is what I want to know.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Gary calling from Brainerd, Minnesota.
Hi, Gary.
Brainerd. How do you spell that?
B-R-A-N-I-E-R-D.
Okay.
By all the lakes.
By all the lakes. What lake is what? Well, there are. Isn't Minnesota the land of a million lakes?
Right.
10,000.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I got a problem for you, a real good one.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law has a 1967 T-Bird, and she thinks that I burnt it up for her.
Oh, Gary.
Yeah, really. What happened is, it was parked in our garage. We took her for a trip over the weekend. When we came home, I went to start it for her. And it seemed like it was flooded. So I opened up the hood, took out the air cleaner, and I put a screwdriver into the butterfly to hold that open to get it
I know what happened.
Well, it started up. It ran good. It probably ran for 2 minutes in our garage. We loaded up her car so I could get rid of her. Then my wife backs the car out of our garage so she could get her started straight so she wouldn't run into anything.
Yeah.
And she drives off. And about 15 minutes later, we got a highway patrol at our door with my mother-in-law back at our house, saying that I burnt her car up because I monkeyed around with the carburetor.
What, did it actually burst into flame?
Well, it burnt the engine and the wiring, and that's about it. It was towable.
Towable. yeah, so was a stone.
Exactly.
But then, see, on top of it, one of the firemen that put it out said, well, it's got to be a carburetor fire. That's the only thing that would have done it. Well,
had you forgotten to replace the air cleaner?
No, that was all back on it. Everything was right back like it was.
Yeah.
Oh, and you did take the screwdriver out.
Yes, sir.
let's ask the important question. Is your mother-in-law still with you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to have to get this thing fixed in a jiffy, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Why do we hear someone else on the line?
Do you have the TV on or something?
Oh, probably in the background, I guess there is.
That's all right.
I'm at work.
Oh, you're at work. Good for you.
So do you have to talk softly?
Yeah, we'll keep it quiet. I mean, it sounds very unlikely.
Gary, have you stolen anything from work recently?
No, never.
Where do you work? What do you do?
I work for a lumber company.
Oh, man. Right, you've never stolen anything.
You could build a whole house.
Right.
No, I think you're innocent, Gary.
Oh, good.
I mean, I really do. It's...
Oh, I'm sure he's stolen something.
No.
Oh, you mean about the car?
I mean about the car. But you never know. I mean, all kinds of things can happen. I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
I used to drive not a 67 T-Bird, but a 56 Chevy. And the radio didn't work, so I had removed it from the dashboard. And I was driving along with my daughter, who at the time was about 6 or 8 years old.
Maybe seven.
And she was asking me, how does an engine work? And I explained to her that, you know, the gasoline goes into... We were driving along. It's a beautiful summer day. The gasoline goes into these little cylinder things, and a spark plug is there, and it makes a little spark, and the gasoline burns. And she looks through the hole on the dashboard where the radio had been.
Right through the firewall. Right, now.
And she says, yeah, I can see the fire right through this hole. And I said, well, not really, because the fires are inside the engine, hon, and you really can't see the fires. And she says, yes, I can, Daddy. So I pull over, and I peek through this little hole, and sure enough, my engine's on fire. And she was able to see through this hole, through the firewall, and indeed, she was seeing flames. And the trouble was that I had, in fact, left the air cleaner off because I was lazy. And the car, in fact, was in flames. So, I suppose it's possible for something to have happened like this, but I don't think you were responsible for it.
So you don't think it's anything I did?
Absolutely not.
Well, I suspect that the reason the car wouldn't start originally and the reason you had to go out there and fiddle with it was that there was something wrong, like the points were closed up. And whatever was wrong and required you to go out and fiddle with it, and that's the reason it flooded, is you were getting poor spark. So it was probably that to cause the fire, too. It probably backfired once she was trying to accelerate on the highway. And it backfired and started a flame under the hood that was, for a while at least, contained by the air cleaner until the paper air cleaner caught fire. And then that flame spread out through the snorkel, and the thing was like a fire-breathing dragon. The carburetor, not your mother-in-law.
That's how she was when she got to the house with the highway patrol. Yeah. So I think you're innocent. I don't know that this does you any good to be innocent.
Oh, no, you will never be able.
You will never be innocent.
You will never prove you're innocent.
In the mind of your mother-in-law, I mean, you could have anyone come, expert or otherwise, and proclaim your innocence. But in the mind, in the eyes of your mother-in-law, you will be forever guilty.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, yeah, you can probably steal enough lumber to build yourself a shack out in the backyard. You can live out there for the summer. Just buy her a car. Actually, let her just move right in.
Go back to work.
That would really be great.
See you later.
Thanks for calling, Gary.
Bye-bye.
What? I mean, that's the sort of
thing. Oh, that is a fate worse than death.
You can never live down something like that. Never.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there are situations in your life where you have done something that was purely innocent, But it didn't look it. And you'll never live it down.
Like what? I mean, what could what could I possibly have done in my? I mean, I've never. I don't know of anything I could have done in my life.
Well, actually, I was trying to think of things that have happened in my life that I have been blamed for forever.
I mean, the only
wives
the only thing that remotely approaches that.
I knew that something would
remotely is when I crushed your sleek Black Beauty.
Oh.
I mean, I've gotten over it. I trust you have, too.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even think about it anymore. I don't even wake up in a sweat anymore at night.
Although you should be doing something less productive. Even listening to us might be too productive at this time of year. You're instead listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We'll have more of your calls, plus another brand-new puzzler, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in a minute.
Someone's changing a tire, and there's a construction up ahead. An 18-wheeler in front of me just threw a tread. Overloaded trailer with her payload starting to sag. This guy in the Buick in front of me is drinking out of a brown paper bag. It's hard to stay alive. I-95, it's a didn't drive. I-95, I keep my hands on the wheel. I focus on the drive, cause I don't wanna die.
And even though Hannibal Lecter pops a Zantac whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Valvoline Motor Oil. Did you know higher mileage engines need different motor oil? Well, Valvoline does, because they test oil every day in their state-of-the-art engine lab in Ashland, Kentucky. Valvoline's high-mileage motor oils with MaxLife technology are specifically formulated for high-mileage engines and have thick anti-wear film to help protect metal surfaces and extend engine life. Visit valvoline.com/cartalk to find out what product is right for your engine.
When's the last time you had a really good workout? Not of your biceps, but of your brain. I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of Hidden Brain. Listen every week and flex your mind.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah.
Now, I did say earlier that this was for the children, but of course, adults are welcome to work on this too. And it is mathematical, and we'll even let Berman work.
Do I need a pencil to write this down? I mean, are there going to be, like, numbers in it, or is it just theoretical?
Yeah, get a pencil.
Okay, get the pencil. I got it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is a probability problem.
Probability.
There's a baseball team which consists of 20 kids, and they all, at the end of the season, they all go to the coach's house to have a barbecue.
Yeah.
And he says, look, kids, you can't wear your hats at the barbecue. So all the kids take their hats, and they throw them in a big pile.
I love it. So there are 20 hats in a pile.
20 hats.
I can see it coming.
You can see it coming.
Yeah.
So they fill their little faces with hot dogs and corn on the cob and whatever.
And they barf.
And they barf into their hats. And at the at the conclusion of the evening, they all reach in at random and grab a hat and put it on their heads.
Yeah, I see it.
What's the probability that 19 out of 20 of these kids gets his correct hat?
Okay, you, no hints, right? No, I'm not going to say a word. No
of
hints.
Of course you can't say a word.
I'm not going to.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a 26-foot hand-carved Italian marble fountain.
With lions?
Tigers.
Tigers is good.
And send it to, I don't think they knew about the tiger, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us and insult us or berate us or do anything at all.
Or make some admission about what's terrible in your life.
Oh, what's terrible about our show. No, you can't do that.
No.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carly calling from Oakland, California.
Carly?
Carly.
And where are you from?
I'm from Oakland, California.
Oakland, okay.
You know Oakland?
Yeah, we've been there.
Yes.
Oh,
we've even gone over that bridge. What's that called?
The Oakland Bridge. The Oakland.
So what's up, Carly?
I have an 84 Honda Civic.
Uh-huh.
And it shakes when I put the brakes on.
Ah.
Now, it doesn't shake if I'm in, like, third gear or second gear. If I'm going, you know, 35 miles an hour.
And you step on the brake, you don't feel the shake.
No, then it doesn't shake. But
if you're doing 50.
Exactly.
Woohoo!
And it shakes, you know, the whole car rattles.
And when it starts to shake, you said it doesn't happen below, like, 30 miles an hour.
Right.
But as you're slowing down, will it all of a sudden stop shaking? If you start at 45, you step on the brake, it starts to shake. You slow down. Does the shaking go away or does it stay?
It slowly tapers off.
Yeah, well, it slowly tapers off because you really can't feel it anymore, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Because you have warped discs.
Oh.
Hey, be careful. She's a nice lady.
The discs are the disc rotors are part of the front brake system on this car.
Uh-huh.
And they're warped, and every time the warp comes around, you're feeling that warp getting telegraphed actually through the brake fluid.
Oh.
The brake fluid is acting as the conveyance.
Okay.
And it's coming back to your foot, to your pedal.
Okay. And it's been doing this for years. Like, I've never taken it to the mechanic and figured it out.
Really?
I was always afraid that it was going to cost a lot of money, so I just never got it fixed.
Yeah, you know, this deserves study. I mean, this is a doctoral dissertation
if I ever saw one. I have studied it. I have studied it for over 25 years to such an extent.
You think that you have some theories?
I can even predict.
Yeah.
When a customer is going to give me either the wrong phone number or no phone number or the wrong name even. Because people don't want the bad news. So what they'll do is they'll come in, you'll come in with a car like this, you'll finally have been beaten up so badly by your friends that you'll agree to take the car in.
Yeah.
You take the car in and you will transpose the last two digits of your phone number. And, of course, we'll look at the car, decide that it needs $900 worth of work, spend the entire day calling you, of course, unable to reach you.
Right.
Now, you'd think that you, out of curiosity, would call us saying, hi, guys, have you looked at my car? Could you figure out what's wrong with it? But you won't call because you know what the answer is going to be. Then you hope that if you wait long enough, we'll fix it for free.
No, but see, the study is bigger than that.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
This is one little piece. And the other part of it is there are some people, like Carly, who can have a problem. I mean, it's not nothing to have the thing shaken. I mean, you might, many people would think that it could be dangerous.
You do get used to it, though. For example,
people manage to live with it.
The first time you looked in the mirror and saw that face. I mean, it must have scared you, right?
But of course, it still does.
Have you done anything about it?
Well, I tried to get liposuction, but I found out it wasn't for the lips. And I was pronouncing it wrong.
But you should take it into somebody because...
But why some people, something goes wrong with the car, and they just live with it and live with it. Other people, the most minor little ping noise, a little something, right to the dealer.
Well, I will have to ask Carly then, if you developed an ache or a pain,
mm-hmm.
would you run to the doctor or would you wait for it to go away?
I'm one of those people who waits for it to go away.
See?
So if the ache or a pain caused a limp eventually.
Then I would go to the doctor.
You would. How long would that take, though?
Six months.
It could take usually like 3 weeks to a month or
Well,
more.
That's to get an appointment, but how long would it take you to think about getting the appointment?
Out here, it's about 3 months for the appointment.
Yeah. Well, it might be related to your feelings about the body, too. I mean, what a doctoral dissertation this is.
Oh, no, this is deep.
It could be in any department. It could be in the psychology department, part of medicine, anything.
Mechanical engineering?
Mechanical engineering, art history.
Well, my recommendation would be that you have someone look at it at least to find out if the thing is still safe.
Okay.
See you, Carly.
Thanks for calling,
right,
Carly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray. This is David from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, David. What's going on?
David, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've got a 98 Dodge Intrepid. And when I get in my car to turn it on, I turn the key all the way, and nothing happens. It doesn't crank. It doesn't make a clicking noise like a dead battery. It's just silence.
And how long has this been going on, Dave? About 6 to 7 months?
No.
You've been waiting to get through?
Well, actually, it's been progressively getting worse. Here's what happens, though. I'll turn the key, and if I count, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and it doesn't seem to matter what state I use. If I use Kentucky, it's the same thing. Okay. by the time I get to 10 Mississippi, it'll start. Like, just start like a champ.
So you're holding the key to the crank position the whole time?
Holding the key to the crank position the whole time.
And you're not doing anything else?
Not doing anything else. It's not making any noise at all.
And then when it starts, is there any sound that precedes the start?
Nope. It just fires right up.
Good.
So my car wakes up to the start.
And this has been going on for how long?
Well, it's been progressively getting worse over the last 4 months. It used to be like, you know, just every once in a while it would do this. And now I would say it's about 40 to 50% of the time.
So you took it into the Intrepid dealer.
He took it nowhere.
He did.
No, I didn't take it anywhere.
What's wrong with you people? That's why the service industry is in the state that it's in. Doesn't anyone get his car fixed anymore?
I've got a phobia about mechanics. It goes dentist, mechanics, attorney. And those people I just try to avoid.
Sure, that's wise.
Well, here's the real problem I have, too. It's my wife's car.
Ah, okay. You're tired of hearing it.
And wait a minute. And does it happen when she drives?
Oh, yeah. She's the one who's been complaining to me about it.
Ah.
Well, here's the deal, Dave.
Yeah.
If you're really lucky, you have a bad connection at the battery.
Okay.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. I'm saying if he's really lucky, yeah, I don't think that's what it is.
I don't think so either.
But if you were lucky, you could clean the battery terminals, you know, where the wires hook right up to the battery. And that might fix it. And the way, in fact, to verify that is to have an assistant, like maybe your wife, try to start the car. But instead of waiting for the 10 count, you tap on the battery cable connections.
Okay.
And see if it doesn't start right away.
Like a rock or a brick.
Yeah.
Or a hammer.
Or
if
a
you
wooden
had
mallet or some such thing.
Okay.
Or even a hammer.
Yeah,
and,
but gently. It doesn't take
And as soon
one.
As you tap this thing, if, in fact, there is a bad connection, you'll see a spark. Smoke.
Okay.
And an explosion.
And then you'll never see anything again. No, but you probably should wear protective eye gear, but in general you should when you work on your car. But if that, in fact, makes it start instantly, then you're lucky. But what my brother thinks it is...
That's not going to happen.
...is what I think it is.
No, I don't think we agree. I think it's not what you think it is. I think what you think it is the neutral safety switch.
No, I think it's a bad starter motor.
Too.
Yeah. From the limited knowledge we have of these Intrepids, I would say that the starter motor is the most likely candidate.
I would say that also.
Oh, that's too bad.
Only because
the starter motor make a noise, though, if it was going bad?
No, because it won't do anything. It's just sitting there.
Oh, okay.
And nothing's turning.
Yeah, because the electricity isn't flowing through the brushes into the armature. So you turn the key and nothing happens. If you really listen carefully, you might notice there's a little...
Oh, okay.
In fact, if you release the key and then turn it back to crank, you might get a... Dook, dook. And if you keep doing that, one of those times, boom, it'll just start right up.
Have you ever done that, actually, instead of just holding the key in the on position? Have you ever tried turning it on, off, on, off, on, off, one Mississippi, two Mississippi?
We've tried various permutations.
And turning it off and on does not work as well as holding it in one position?
Doesn't seem to make a difference.
No, the holding it lends credence to the bad connection theory.
Yeah.
Because when you hold it, you get a few electrons jumping the bad connection, and then the longer you hold it, they get emboldened, and more of them jump across the bad connection.
And the escaped electron theory. We call this the escaped electron
theory. You know, electrons, when they come to an abyss, they're pretty timid. I mean, they could fall into the thing and never be seen again.
They are timid. That's right.
So once a few make it across... Then the other ones are encouraged and emboldened, and they make it across, and then you're running.
Einstein, I think, was the first to express the emboldened electron theory.
Now, if it is the starter motor, is that something that's fairly easy to fix myself?
The starter motor?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable taking stuff on and off the car. I just don't know where it is on this car.
Well, that's the problem.
That's going to make a difference. Really tough. You can find it by following the cable, the positive cable from the battery.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that will ultimately lead to the starter motor. But if you're unfamiliar with starter motors, sure, you can do it. What do we care?
You could do it. No, you could do it. I mean, you'd have to get underneath.
Right.
But before you do that, I mean, it could also be the ignition switch. Because the emboldened electron theory works as well with the ignition switch as the culprit as it does with the starter as the culprit.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, before you go ahead and just jump into replacing the
then
starter.
You have to use the broomstick technique.
You need to do some tests, and if you don't have the right equipment, it might be a good idea to take it someplace, and they'll be able to verify in a second whether or not electricity is getting to the starter.
Okay.
If electricity is not getting to the starter when the key is in the crank position, and then after those one Mississippi, two Mississippis, electricity does get to the starter, then it ain't the starter.
Okay.
The problem is either the ignition switch or something called the neutral safety switch.
And if you want to play around, let your wife get in the car and turn the key, or you get in the car and turn the key, and the other person will, after you have located the position of the starter, you take a mop or a broom, turn it upside down so the stick end is facing into the car, and whack the starter as the key is being held in that on position. And if it starts, notice all the fancy tools, broomsticks, bricks, hammers. This is a fine art.
This reminds me of a funny story. Our dear sister was at a party one night.
I remember
many years
well.
Ago in the winter. And she calls our house on a Friday night, and she says, I'm leaving this party. I'm trying to leave. It's midnight. It's 4 degrees out, and my car won't start. And as luck would have it, my brother's at my house with
me.
We were rehearsing.
Our bluegrass band was rehearsing, which
right.
It doesn't do
for
anymore.
For our big gig.
Because it's useless.
And so we tell her, look, why don't you get one of these people that's at the party, and while you hold the key to the crank position, you have this person hit the starter with something like, you know, like a broomstick or she said, would a baseball bat be all right? So we say, sure. That would be fine. So about an hour and a half later, we're expecting her to call and say, it's running. I'm on my way home, and I'll take it to the garage tomorrow, and you guys will fix it. And we don't hear from her. And finally, the phone rings, and she says, they've given up. We can't start it. We've hit the thing 1,000 times. Well, we decided to make an emergency road call, and we get there, and I realize when we look at this thing that maybe on the first blow, they knocked the wire off the starter. And then these guys proceeded to beat this thing. I mean, the starter motor had more tests than
that.
And they were having a grand old time. I mean, they were whacking at this thing with everything imaginable, spitting on it, throwing rocks at it.
But we were heroes. We connected the wire and it started right off.
Anyway, if you hit it, the moral of the story is hit it once or twice. Don't go crazy. Good
okay.
luck, David.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Cayuga Lake, Bran Flake, Shark Steak, Broiled Hake, Sponge Cake, and Thick Shake Clam Bake, and Thirst Slake is John Bugsy Lawler.
Is he here?
He is.
Yay!
Just back.
Just back.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our employee morale boosters are Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Bad. The manager of our nightclub is Don Cashane. Our automotive schematic reader is Saul Greek to me. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horse You Rode In. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the undershowered singer-songwriters in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1923. Subscribe to our weekly podcast and find a Father's Day gift guaranteed to get you disowned all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, are you looking for a good mechanic? Well, You could go down to the marina and see who has the biggest boat, or you can check out reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like at our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, specialty, or number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Check out the mechanics files anytime over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Chicken Little says, okay, now do you believe me? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.